Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 23, 2020. To shop or not to shop? From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, April 23, 2020. Various pundits are pointing to consumerism as the reason for the destruction of nature, which eventually led to the appearance of the coronavirus and other menaces. They are advocating the idea that we should stop shopping and return to what they call sustainable living. I don't think it's natural, and certainly not sustainable to live the way our forefathers lived eons ago. Human nature requires pleasures. We aren't only animals, we are also humans, and humans have many desires that animals don't. Needs for entertainment, shopping, or traveling are not luxuries. We really do need them. The problem is not with the desires but with how we use them, and mainly, for what. We're all part of one interconnected system. Everything we do that coincides with our interconnectedness helps us, and everything we do that contradicts our interconnectedness hurts us. If I buy something in order to strengthen my connection with another person, it's good for me. If I buy that same thing in order to show it off and make others feel bad, it's bad for me. So the problem is not with our actions, but with our intentions. My article in Newsmax, Are We Going Back to Normal? Nature is doing its job, we just need to support it and the world will heal from the coronavirus pandemic. One thing we have certainly learned from the coronavirus quarantine is that nature could live peacefully without our interference. As countries begin to consider lifting the lockdowns imposed to avoid further contagion, we see unequivocal signs of the planet's ecological recovery. Nature is a master teacher, now it is our turn to become exemplary students, pass the difficult test handed to us, and advance a grade by improving the relationship between us and the environment. As people stopped commuting and traveling, the Earth's surface vibrated less, reads a recent National Geographic article which explains how the coronavirus has quieted the world with the measures to curb the pandemic, thus reducing seismic noise. It puts in perspective the tremendous impact of humans on nature for better or worse. Since COVID-19 pushed the world's pause button, satellite images released by NASA show a significant reduction in toxic emissions and pollution in America. The air is dramatically cleaner in big cities across the globe, the chirping of birds has replaced the unbearable metropolis noise, and animals reclaim their habitats penetrating the big cities. One obvious conclusion is that instead of man's hectic race to manipulate the world, it is much better when we sit quietly and allow nature to breathe, recover itself, and bloom. Our attempts to control others out of pride, and particularly, our predatory behaviors toward each other, have brought despair and affliction upon us. However, humankind has the ability to consciously make a change. The first step toward change is awareness. Otherwise, it is impossible to fix something that we just assume works well. Flattening the negativity curve about the future. If we stop producing, acquiring, and accumulating the unnecessary stuff that is choking the planet, if we discuss and internalize what really matters in life and invest more time in nurturing good and healthy relationships, we will stop feeling that life is a dead-end road and our future will seem brighter and clearer. Like never before, we are on the verge of a historic breakthrough. As humanity impatiently awaits the reopening of society and businesses, we should not become nostalgic about the past. Returning to what we call normal would be returning to the abnormal state that constantly left us unfulfilled, chasing unrealistic goals, and immersed in exhausting competition to succeed at all cost. However, since the old, egoistic patterns have proven themselves unworkable, it is worthwhile to look forward to welcome change, instead of backward. Ultimately, the current crisis has come to raise us and all of creation to a higher level of existence, so we would be wise to flow with the harmonious power of nature and allow it to heal us. How do we ensure that we do not derail our trajectory toward a renewed and rehabilitated world? We will stay on the right track if we realize that nature is whole and round, where all its elements must be connected in one integral system in which they support and complement each other. Humanity needs to replicate this pattern and move in sync with nature by gradually refraining from treating one another badly. We must understand that we constitute a delicate system in which each person depends on the other, and we need to constantly strengthen social cohesion. This is the formula of nature for a wonderful and balanced existence, one that is complete and eternal. Thus, it is precisely from this enormous coronavirus crisis that we can flatten pessimism about the future and raise the curve of the positive new life. Published on April 16, 2020. From the beginning to the end of creation. Baha'u'llah, the teaching of the Kabbalah and its essence, it is known that the end of the act is in the preliminary thought. Before one begins to think about how to build a house, one contemplates the apartment in the house, which is the purpose. Subsequently, one examines the blueprint to make it suitable for this task. So it is with our matter. Once we have learned about the purpose, it is also clear to us that all the conducts of creation, in its every corner, inlet and outlet, are completely prearranged for the purpose of nurturing the human species from its midst, to improve its qualities until it can sense the Creator as one feels one's friend. These ascensions are like rungs of a ladder, arranged degree by degree until it is completed and achieves its purpose. Baha'u'llah considers descents to be identical to ascents, as it is said, "We increase in holiness and do not decrease in holiness." Our whole path from the beginning to the end of creation is a continuous ascent. It is identical for everyone, even for those who are not very successful, those who are lucky, those who feel these levels, and those who do not feel them. We ascend continuously. We come closer to the end of correction at every moment, and although we advance slower than we could and very often we feel descents instead of ascents, these feelings are totally subjective. In fact, in absolute terms, we are constantly advancing. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 12, 2020. The relevance of the science of Kabbalah. Baha'u'llah, the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah, this wisdom is no more and no less than a sequence of roots, which hang down by way of cause and consequence, by fixed, determined rules, interweaving to a single, exalted goal described as the revelation of His godliness to His creatures in this world. The wisdom of Kabbalah is intended for the created beings in this world in order to guide them to the attainment of the Creator according to absolute, fixed laws, which gradually lead people to His attainment, feeling, perception, and eventually to adhesion with Him, which means to the complete revelation of the Creator. And who is the Creator? He is the highest, general, integral force of nature, which includes all of creation. This is the reason why understanding this state enables us to understand what is actually going on and to respond correctly to what the Creator, nature, is doing with us and what we can do with it. By implementing the wisdom of Kabbalah, we can see our participation in creation, in nature. After all, Kabbalah is the science of nature, of everything that was created, including the root, that is, the Creator. This means that studying this science, especially in our times, is indeed essential. This is what our evolution pushes us toward, and it happens through a constant increase of suffering and lack of understanding in order to force us to know the Creator, to reveal Him, to understand how crucial it is for us to be in contact with Him. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 26, 2020. Four stages of soul development. The structure of the soul consists of four parts. Therefore, the following condition that passes through a person after the intrauterine development of the soul is a division into certain parts, the so-called stanta, da armim, negudot, da gin, otiotor hochma, bina, zirin pin, tiferet, and malkhut. The main thing is that these stages, like the four stages of direct light, initially build us according to the levels of Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and Dalet. Thus, the desire derives from the light, that is, from the property of the Creator, and the property of creation develops through four stages. The desire to receive comes from the desire to give. Similarly, in the four stages at each level in each segment, the so-called four-letter changes occur called Da-Armim, Nekudot, Da-Gin, and Otiot. They are manifested onto every smallest desire, both onto desires that are joined together and onto those that combine together in one spiritual kli, desire. That is, the law is simple, a four-stage distribution, formation, and creation of desire. We can track the same thing in our world on inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human levels of nature. Each of these levels is divided into its four stages. Therefore, when we develop spiritually, we will surely go through all four stages on our desire, which gradually begins to create and grow us through internal division. In principle, as it happens in a human embryo, it also happens within us. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 16, 2020. What to do during a spiritual ascent? Question. Haim Vittel wrote that in order to ascend the spiritual worlds where you will feel the influence and the reality of the Creator, you need to completely remove all thoughts and imaginations that we receive from our animalistic nature. How can we properly conduct workshops during a spiritual ascent? Answer, you do not need to conduct workshops during a spiritual ascent or during a spiritual descent. You must be connected to your ten as much as possible in both states. And there is nothing else to do. Be within your ten to the maximum, and you will succeed correctly. Our methodology is very simple. You need to identify yourself in your connection with the rest of the ten. You will find a field between you and your friends there. It will turn into an understanding of the upper world, and the sensation of the Creator will appear in it. And so it will end, you, the group, field, and the Creator. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 1, 2020. Blessed are you, O Lord, who brings bread out of the earth. It is customary to thank before the meal, blessed are you, O Lord, who brings bread out of the earth. We bless the upper force for helping us to bring forth bread. Bread is the degree of faith, from the land, that is, from the degree of the will to receive, malkhut. The qualities of bina fell into malkhut, and we are extracting them back. When I plant a seed in the soil gives this seed all kinds of minerals, it turns into a sprout, and then into a stalk with many seeds. So, from one seed planted in the ground, I get hundreds of seeds, increasing my deposit hundreds of times. Where does the earth get such power? This is the result of the shattering. The light penetrated the desire and transferred its properties into it. And since then, up to this day, we are extracting from the land, from Malkhut, the qualities of Bina with the help of which we can grow and produce plants, animals, and people. Everything comes from the inanimate level, but due to the fact that the force of the light initially penetrated into it. Therefore, a living force can come out of the inanimate earth. That is how it works. We bless the Lord, who brings bread out of the earth. There is nothing in the earth itself, but the Creator initially implanted his quality of bestowal into it, and that is why we can extract all the fruits from the earth. Everything comes out of the inanimate level, from the earth, from the first shattering, as a result of which the force of the Creator penetrated to the lowest level, into the desire to receive, and is supporting it. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, March 26, 2020, lesson on the topic Building the Future Society. P. period of wandering, part 7. Assimilation will not help. Question: after the Jews went into exile for 2,000 years, they repeatedly experienced four acts of the same play in a foreign land. At first, they caused prosperity in the country they settled in, then they faced hatred toward them from other peoples, then their physical destruction began, and as a result they were exiled. Can it be said that this is a law? Answer: yes, it is a law. Even if they were not physically exiled, such as in Russia, they were still placed in such conditions that they had to leave. Even in our time. Now it is brewing in America. Jews by no means want to leave there. They believe that this is their homeland and everything is fine there. But in the end, after the prime, which passed very quickly, hatred gradually manifests itself, and it will squeeze them out of the country. It will not be exile, as it was in the Middle Ages in Portugal and Spain, and later in England, Germany, and France when the Jews had to free the whole territory within a week, but simply hatred. Remark: moreover, no matter how much Jews try to assimilate, there is still some kind of law that prevents them from doing this. My response: even mixed marriages will not help. We will see it. From CapTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, July 15, 2019,